for us. Oh, forgive us of seeking your hand and not your face. Come and empty us, Father, we're desperate in this place. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Us so much more than we deserve. You deliver us by the power of your word. God, we lift you up, giving you the honor that is yours. Thank you for your love, Father. This is what we're living for.
You may be seated if you'd like. This next song talks about, the bridge talks about, I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. He is alive inside of me. I noticed several people looked at me when he was talking about gym rats on Wednesday night, and I just laugh. I mean, there's like how many hours in the week? I spend like 3 out of the entire week, but I apparently am known as that. But so in I feel like we always learn a lot of things out of the natural in the spiritual. And so there is kind of this, like, you know, when you're trying to make gains, they say, in that world, that you try to think, okay, so that chocolate is going to taste good for like 2 seconds. I'm going to taste that chocolate or taste that piece of dessert or whatever food item that is going to taste good for just a minute of my life. But that pound or those calories or that sugar or whatever is going to last a whole lot longer. And so that's something I know that might be a little bit odd for me to use as a comparison, but it is true. Sometimes we are so temporal minded that we forget the eternal. And some of these things that our hearts are set on and some of these things that we pay so much attention to really have nothing, no meaning in the end. But we are so temporal minded. And so maybe that should be, not only should I apply those things in my life as far as the piece of candy or whatever, that it's so temporal, but let me lay down these things that are so much less when you consider the salvation of a soul or when you consider the salvation of your own soul. These things seem to just really not matter much. Would you sing this song with us?
All that's the thing.
Because he took my place in divine exchange. Hallelujah, grace is mine. Now I will live by faith for the one who saves. He gave all to give me life. Jesus, he took my place in divine exchange. Hallelujah, grace is mine. Now I will live by faith for the one who saves. He gave all to give me life. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. Down all lesser things for greater gain. He is alive inside of me. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. He is alive inside of me. I lay down all lesser things. He took my place in divine exchange. Hallelujah, grace is mine. Now I will live by faith for the one who saves. He gave all to give me life. Jesus, he took my place in divine exchange. Hallelujah, grace is mine. Now I will live by faith for the one who saves. He gave all to give me life. Jesus, he took my place in divine exchange. Hallelujah, grace is mine. Now I will live by faith for the one who saves. He gave all to give me life. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. Things for greater gain. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. He is alive.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you thankful for his blood?
Yes.
You may be seated if you like. Of life's demand.
For the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. So I can live. See the Lamb, the great I am, who takes away my sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
Thankfulness and gratefulness, Lord, from your people to you today in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, you bless this offering, every faithful and cheerful giver, and ones given by faith today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord of everything, will it
Things we want to do when we come together. Not only do we fellowship, not only do we spend time learning from the Word of God, but we've come to sing praises to the one who saves us, to lift our voice, to lift our hands. Hallelujah. To say thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come to give you praises, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, can you clap unto the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We do apologize for the inability to put words up on the screen. I know we've become accustomed to having the words in front of us, and so it's a little more difficult. We understand that. We did narrow it down. Seemed like we've got a video card on the computer that went by the way. And so we have to replace that. So thank you, Brother Kellum, and those that have been working on that, trying to resolve it. We got it halfway resolved, but not completely resolved. And so we were not able to put things up on the screen for you. So I'll do my best to try to give you upcoming announcement. I do want to remind you that tonight, I realize the weather may not be as conducive as we had hoped and planned, but we still want to invite everybody out to our residence. It is the fifth Sunday, and when we have a fifth Sunday during the month, we have what we call a faith and family night. And we get together, get our families together, just have a good time of fellowship, getting to, you know, as they say, let your hair down a little bit, just have a good time in fellowship. If it does rain, we may at the last moment. Right now we're planning to have everything there at our residence. If it does change and it gets too stormy, we may change it here to the church, but I don't want to forego it. I want to have it. It's been a while since we've had an event on a Sunday night, and so I want to make sure that we're having something together. But at this point, we're planning to have it at our place, and if that changes, we will do our best to notify everybody. But I want you to come. You're welcome. If you don't have our address, please see me after service. We can make sure you have our home address, or you can go on Breeze. And our address is on there. And you can find out exactly where we live. It's pretty easy if you go south on Main Street, south out of town. You'll go through stop before you go through the red flashing light. Go through the red flashing light about 4 miles. It takes a big curve to your right, pretty sharp curve. And then there's a turn-in into a subdivision right after that curve. We are that first turn-in is third house. I had to think about that. Third house on the left, kind of light blue in color, gray and light blue in color. So I'm sure you'll see cars, all that good stuff. So we're just inviting everybody out to have a good time together, and want you to come, and looking forward to that. Other events we'll try to make you aware of. They are posted on Breeze, and we try to put them up on the screen, but we are unable to do that this morning. Thank you, Brother Krieger, for a good word this morning. Amen. Now, if you'd be so kind to stand to your feet, grab your Bibles. Since we don't have a screen, if you got a Bible app on your phone or your iPad or one of those devices, we encourage you to pull that up. And 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. How many of you are thankful for the saving grace of God? Thankful that we have salvation because of what Jesus has done for us. But something that we don't often hear preach as much as we should is that certainly we are grateful for and thankful for salvation, but sanctification that happens as a result of that same Spirit that saves us, sanctifying us, separating us, making us different. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, in reading verse number 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let me just stop right there and say this. If I'm going to call myself a Christian, I'm going to identify with being a Christian, well, then I better be doing my best to allow the power and presence of God to help me depart from iniquity. To live a life that is free from sin. That doesn't mean I'm not going to mess up. Doesn't mean I'm not going to make mistakes. Doesn't mean my flesh is not going to sometimes overrule my spirit and do things I don't want to do. What that means is that I'm no longer living in sin. No longer bound by sin. I am endeavoring to live a different life. That every one of you that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if I call myself a Christian and I continue in a life of sin, well, that's an oxymoron. It just doesn't happen. Say with me. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what are these? Well, works of iniquity. He shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified. Everybody say sanctified. And meet, not M-E-A-T, M-E-E-T. That means useful. Useful for the master's use. And prepared unto every good work. The help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Sanctified, meet for the master's use. Sanctified, meet for the master's use. I get it, and I understand. People would say, well, what does it take to be saved? What I want to know about salvation. Well, I can tell you about salvation, but salvation and being saved, the new birth experience, is just the beginning. If I truly want to be used by God, I truly want to be meet for the master's use, there is a process of sanctification. It is an ongoing process. But the more I submit to it and the more I allow that same Spirit which saved me to work in my life to sanctify me, the better use I am to the kingdom. The more God can use me. You see, and this is not condescending, but I've graduated from worrying about my salvation. I'm not sitting around wringing my hands wondering whether or not I'm going to make heaven my home. I'm confident that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm confident. But now what I'm pressing for, now what I really want in my life is more sanctification. I want to be set apart. I want to be different. I want to be meat for the master's use. I want to be a tool in his hand with which he fights against the enemy. I want to be meat for the master's use. Prepared unto every good work. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, God. I thank you for another opportunity to stand before these precious people and preach your wonderful word. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that we would all be challenged, God, that we would all be renewed in the spirit of our mind to understand what it means to be sanctified and set apart for your purpose. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Sanctified, meet for the master's use. Sanctification, if you boil it all down, literally means separation. Specifically, it means separation from sin. The Greek word is defined as holiness or consecration and or sanctification. You read throughout the Bible, the King James Version sometimes translates the word as holiness and other times it translates the word as sanctification. Theologically speaking, sanctification means separation from sin and dedication to God. By becoming progressively more consecrated to him. In other words, it's not just about living separate from the world. It's about being consecrated to God. The reality is, the more consecrated to God I become, the more separate from this world I become. The more different I am, the more peculiar I am. And that's the way God has designed it. That's the way God has set it up, that his people would be different. Even in the Old Testament, we see the type, we see the understanding of the children of God, the people of God. He set aside certain things for them, and there were rules and things that they followed and things which made them a separate people. He was, in a sense, sanctifying them or separating them from all the other nations of the world. They were a different people. They were a peculiar people. They had, if you will, God's sanctification in their lives to make them different. We understand by that, and during that time it was by the law, if you will. It was the different ceremonial laws and dietary laws and other things that they upheld and that they went by. Interesting note, I was having a meal the other night, and there was a group of us, and one of the ladies who was at the meal, I noticed she's we've had to, in these groups, we've had to get together in meals, and I've noticed that almost every time she orders fish. And so I said, "Are you getting fish again tonight?" And she said, "Well, yes." She says, I don't eat meat." And then I remembered that she's a Jew. And I said, "Oh," I said, "because it has to be prepared, it has to be kosher." And she said, "Yes." And so I began to ask her these questions about their dietary laws and in the way that as a Jew, certain things have to be prepared. And they can't eat meat, but it does have to be prepared in a certain way. And all these dietary laws that they still uphold. And so I kind of shocked her a little bit. And I said, "Are these a lot of these dietary laws found in the Torah?" She said, Well, yes, they are." And so she immediately recognized that I understood a little bit about Judaism and the ways that the Jews would separate themselves and be different. And many of them living in that sense even to this day, who uphold and follow those laws and those ways that they believe they are sanctified or different and set apart. Now, we understand that because of the new covenant, we as those who are Christians, who name the name of Christ, who understand that he fulfilled the law. And so now we fulfill the law by following after him. And if we do fulfill the law, if you will, by following after him, by having him applied to our lives, then the more like him we become, catch it, the more of a Christian we could call ourselves. But to call myself a Christian, but yet not do anything in my life that would cause me to be separate or different, that doesn't work. I've said it all along, I'll continue to say it. To be a Christian is counterculture. I'll move on. Sanctification begins, we understand, according to the Word of God, it begins at justification, regeneration. It starts in the new birth experience. We are sanctified through the Spirit. We are set apart. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We understand that process begins in justification and regeneration through the new birth. But it certainly doesn't stop there. It starts there. We should grow up in Him in all things. We should endeavor to mature, to become more Christ-like, to become set apart. We experience that work of the Spirit in salvation, in the new birth, in justification, in regeneration, but it should also continue in the work of sanctification in our lives going forward. You see, often though, we will tune preachers out when they start talking about separation. It's not a popular subject. Many times, I truly believe this is because we don't really understand what sanctification is. We don't really understand. It's all about, I just want to know what it means to be saved. I just want to know about salvation. And that's well and good. And people need to understand what it takes to be saved. But if I'm truly going to be a Christian, it doesn't stop there. I'm not concerned with the bare minimum. I'm not concerned with just what it takes to make heaven my home. I want to know what it takes to bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth. I want to know what it takes to have the same power of God resident in my life, not only to save me, but to sanctify me and make me different. You see, you boil it down to what sanctification truly is. It is the power to live a life apart from sin. The power to depart from iniquity. The power to show the world in which I live that I am no longer a slave to sin. Sin does not have dominion over me. It doesn't mean I won't make a mistake. It doesn't mean I won't mess up. What it means is I don't live in the mistakes. I don't live in a life of sin. I depart from iniquity. So the understanding is the same power that removes, or if you will, empowers me to no longer be sinful because I am in Christ, and because of what he has done for me, I am saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is what he has done for me, and I am saved through him. But I'm not just concerned with what it takes to be saved. I want to know what it takes to be useful to God.
I want to be meat for the master's use. I love him so much, and I'm so grateful of what he's done for me that I look heavenward and say, Lord, what can I do for you? You've done all this. You gave yourself for me. You purchased my salvation with your blood. What can I do in an attitude of gratitude that shows you I'm thankful, that shows you I'm grateful? And it is that same power which saves us, that same blood which washes and remits our sins, is also the same blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It helps us. I've told you many times, it's past, present, and future. It remits sin past. It helps me live above sin right now, and it's going to help me overcome sin going forward. It is that same power that saves us, that sanctifies us, that sets us apart, that makes us different. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 through 11 if you have your Bibles. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here's kind of an analogy, if you will, that deals with that. We were all, one point in time, held captive by sin, and such were some of you. We were all slaves to sin. We were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were all, by nature, did those things which are wrong. All of us. All of us. We were all in prison. But Jesus came. But Jesus came, and with the power to save us from prison, to deliver us, to deliver the captives. He has come and he has paid the price. He has the keys to death and hell. He unlocked the door and said, hey, if you want to come out of prison, you can come out of prison. There is nothing, no power that can hold you there anymore. And yet, even in that, do we understand that he is empowered us to break free. He has empowered us to be delivered. Sometimes and often people fail to submit in that same spirit. Now stay with me. They're saved. God has delivered them. God has made it possible for them to be out of prison. They are no longer a slave to sin. They no longer owe the debt. It's been paid. They are free to leave. They are free through the power of Jesus Christ to be out of prison where sin has no more dominion over them. Here's what happens. When we do not submit ourselves, submit yourselves therefore under God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What happens is when we don't submit in sanctification and allow that same spirit which unlocked the door of our prison to lead us out and walking into a new life. That same spirit which says, hey, come on, whomsoever will come. You can come out of prison and you can live a life that is above sin. You can live a life that is overcoming. And that same spirit begins to lead and draw us. If we don't submit to that, and we don't allow that same spirit which saved us and unlocked the doors to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light, what happens? We stay bound in the prison that we are delivered from. Think about it. By our own choices and by our own unwillingness to submit to the things of God and the sanctification process, a prison that we are delivered from and no longer locked inside, if we do not submit and follow him in his will and in his way, we remain confined. We remain servants of sin. By our own choices, He has saved us. He has made it possible for us. And here's what happens with some people. God delivers them, man, and they begin to walk in newness of life. But then the accuser of the brethren comes. And he begins to say, well, you used to do this and you used to do that. Oh, you messed up over here. You might as well just go back to prison. That's where you belong. You might as well go back there and slap those chains on your wrist because you can never live it over. You can't be completely free of sin. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. And so condemnation comes. And condemnation convinces some people to walk right back into the prison that God has saved them from. They don't understand the process of sanctification. They don't understand that it's a process. They don't truly understand. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We can look at the accuser of the brethren and say, yeah, such was I, but I've been saved. And I may make a mistake here and there, and I may mess up, but you need to understand, sin has no more dominion over me. And I'm not perfect, but I'm walking in a newness of life. I don't have it all right all the time, but I'm walking toward the good things of God, and I'm allowing His Word to take place in my life. That's what sanctification is. It's not being perfect because I can't be perfect. It's allowing the perfection of a God who is perfect to be made more and more manifest in my life as it leads me different, as it shows me a new path and a narrow way that is different from the rest of this world. And I make choices based upon that Spirit calling me to follow Him and do His will in my life. And so I won't listen to the enemy. I won't listen to those voices of condemnation trying to convince me that I deserve to be in prison. I said, I may deserve to be in prison, but I don't get what I'm deserving of because of grace. Because of what Jesus did for me, He paid the price. Well, you messed up. I may have messed up. But Jesus, you did this, well, I may have done that, but Jesus, you need to understand He saved me and He made it possible for me to live an overcoming life. So when God brings me out, if I don't continue to allow Him to lead me further and further in this life of righteousness, away from unrighteousness, and what will happen is I will find myself migrating back to an old life. I'm sad to say it's happened. God has saved people, delivered them, and they have made their way back to a prison. Willingly placed upon themselves chains of sin. And God has made it possible for them to be delivered. Please understand this. Spiritual leaders in your life, mentors, pastors, evangelists, teachers, those that God has put in, if you will, the ministry. Please understand, they're not trying to be legalistic and render your life completely constricted with rules and regulations. That's not what they're attempting to do. What they're attempting to do is define a process of sanctification. They're attempting to help you stay separate, to depart from iniquity. To make sure, yeah, there will be fences that I will put up in my life, and there will be things that I will do that you may not understand and you may not agree with, and you may not can find chapter and verse for, but I know if I don't put these fences, I've spent enough time in my walking relationship with God, if I don't do these things and I don't have these things in my life, I am not going to be as sanctified as I should be, and so I will find myself migrating back to a former life, and so you may not need it in your life, but I need it in my life. You may not think this is necessary for you, but I know it's necessary for me. There are things that can harm us, and there are things that will try and attempt to keep us from maintaining separation from the world. Things that will constantly call to us and say, oh, it's okay, you can be involved in this. You can entertain these things. You can associate with these things. And that's why the Apostle Paul is stressing at the Corinthian church, a society that was steeped in debauchery. And there the Apostle Paul has built a great church, and he's trying to convince them why is 2/3 of the New Testament written to Holy Ghost-filled believers. It's for sanctification. Well, Pastor, tell me, is that a heaven or hell issue? No, it's not, but it's a sanctification issue. And if you want to be meat for the master's use, and you want to be used by God, why do you keep putting it on a heaven or hell basis? Grow up! It's not about salvation anymore. It's now about sanctification. It's now about growing in God and being meat for the master's use. So the Apostle Paul says some things that are a little bit tough to swallow. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. You're special. Understand that your association with things. Listen. Please understand where I'm coming from in this. Why would anybody go and put graffiti on the Taj Mahal? Why would we? It's special. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Because you are the temple of God. Because God does dwell in you. Because God said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Because of that, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Because I am in you. Because you are a holy nation, because you are special to me. Because you are something that I place my name upon. But all those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, I don't want to do anything to tarnish the name. I want to do everything I can to make His praise glorious. I want to do everything I can in my life and in my daily living to show a world outside that He means so much to me. So I will do so much for Him. And you may not understand it, and you may think it's overkill, but you need to understand it's the overflow of a forgiven soul. And I'm so grateful, and I want to be meat for the Master's use. The further I can get from the things of this world, the better off I will be. It's pretty simple. The further I can get from the things of this world, the better off I will be. And yes, that same Spirit that saves us and separates us will be the same Spirit that will continue from glory to glory. I'm changed into His image. It's day to day. It's process. It's trial. It's tribulation. It's this situation, this circumstance. But it's causing me to grow in God. And it's causing me to be me more separate from this world. We need to think of ourselves, as Jesus said, a city set upon a hill. We need to understand that sanctification is the construction of the walls. It's what causes that edifice to arise. It's what causes that building to enlarge and become more of a visual thing for the rest of the world to see. And so Proverbs warns us, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And so, Lord, it's not easy work.
It's not many times what I really want to do, but it's what I need to do. And so I'll work at it. I'll continue to exercise myself unto godliness. I'll continue to do these things. I'll continue to submit so that I can be a vessel of honor. Verse 21 of our reading, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That spirit empowers the purging that must take place in order for me to be a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. He provides the ability, but I have to provide the availability. I have to make room for him. I got to get rid of some things in my life that are keeping him from doing the work that he wants to do. That's sanctification. That's growing in God. That's maturing. That's becoming a tool, a vessel of honor used for his will. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Meet for the master's use. When I read that, one of the things that popped in my mind is Master Chef. Anybody here like to eat? Y'all better raise your hand. I say one of the greatest tools of a Master Chef is an extremely sharp knife, with which they're able to separate, with which they're able to delicately, precisely. Oh yeah, I don't know if you like sushi, but I love sushi. To watch a sous chef, one of those master chefs, as they closely just peel the ginger, and make the cucumber so thin, and they slice it. You know that can't be done with a butter knife. Take something sharp. Take something with an extremely good edge. Thought about this. If I, from a distance, were to hold up two knives that are similar in appearance and ask you which knife was sharper, you'd have to guess. Just by appearance, just by holding that knife up, or those two different knives, one being extremely sharp and the other being dull, a distance, you wouldn't be able to tell. As you got closer, maybe you would be able to notice that there's a finer edge on one blade than the other. And certainly if you were able to look upon it at a microscopic level, it would be easy to tell which knife is sharp and which knife is not. And to think about it in reference to me being a useful tool in the master's hand. Yeah, you can feel it. You can rub your fingers along the edge, and if it's dull, you can press firmly and no cuts will happen. If it's sharp and you press firmly, well, you'll probably cut your fingertips. And so, yeah, there's a way to tell by touch or feel. How are those people out in the world? How without them getting really close? How without them being able to touch, will they be able to tell that the knife is really sharp? At a distance, without getting close, without touching the edge of the blade, I can watch the chef and tell by what he's doing whether or not the knife is really sharp. But I want to be meat for the master's use. I want the world to be able to see. I want the world to know that I spent some time. You see, I know a little bit about knives. I know a little bit about metals. The harder the metal, the more difficult it is to get an edge. But the longer the edge remains.
That's why you need to understand. That's why the devil fights so hard for all those hard people who have so much baggage and have been through so much in life. You want to know why? Because they got some hard metal. And if they ever come into the things of God and they allow the iron to sharpen and they allow the word of God to work upon them and they allow the preacher to preach, it begins to hone that edge. It begins to make that metal sharp. And what the enemy doesn't want is for some of those people to become meat for the master's use, to be put in the tool in the hand of the master as a tool. I want to be meat for the master's use. I want to be sanctified. I want the world to see and know as the master uses me. Oh, he's extremely sharp. What do they say about individuals that are good at what they do? Oh, that individual, he's sharp in business. I wish they would say about me, oh, that man, he's sharp in the things of God. Oh, what a great compliment that I would be meat for the master's use. These altars are open. It's not about this morning, please understand, if you haven't repented of your sins and been baptized in His name and filled with His Spirit, you need to understand that salvation, that is what it takes for us to make heaven our home. That is the new birth experience. But oh, I'm preaching to a lot of people. What you need to understand is there's such an important process called sanctification, where God is working upon you, where He is honing you, where He is making your edge sharp, that you would be meek for the master's use.
Holy purpose, we dedicate this temple to you, Lord. We dedicate this temple to you, Lord. We dedicate this temple.
Lord, what can I do to be of use to you? What can I do to expand your kingdom upon this earth? I want to be meat for the master's use. I want to be useful in your hands.
We dedicate this temple to you, Lord.
If I've become dull, God, if I've allowed the things of this world to beat up against me and my edge is not what it should be, Lord, let me come into your house. Let me spend time in prayer, God.
We dedicate this temple to you, Lord.
Call myself a Christian, Lord, and
we
not feel
this temple
like I shouldn't lay that moniker upon myself, Lord. I want to be able to call myself a Christian with the confidence that you are sanctifying me, that you are separating me.
Use it for your service, for a holy purpose. We dedicate this temple. Lord, we dedicate this temple to you, Lord. We dedicate this temple to you, Lord. Use it for your service, for a holy purpose.
I want to be useful in the master's.
We dedicate.
I want to be prepared unto every good work.
Lord, we dedicate this temple to you, Lord.
Help me sharpen my skill.
We dedicate this temple to you, Lord.
Be sanctified unto you, God.
Use it for your service, for a holy purpose. We dedicate this temple to you, Lord. We dedicate this temple to you, Lord. We dedicate this temple to you, Lord.
Jesus. Once again, Lord, I know I need you. Work on me, Jesus. I want to be meat for the Master's use.
Withholding nothing.
Do what you need to do in my life. Lord, help me to submit.
Withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing.
Sharpen.
Withholding nothing.
Sharpen me, Jesus.
Nothing.
I want to be sanctified and set apart. I want to be different.
I give you all of me.
I want to be separated unto you, Jesus. Consecrated.
I give you all of me.
Submitting more and more of my life to you, God, that I would be sanctified in me.
I give you all of me.
For the Master's use.
Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, I give you all of me.
Lift your hands. Can you lift your voice?
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I give you all.
Here I am, Lord. I give myself to you.
I surrender all to you.
That your will would be performed in my life.
Everything
that I would be who you would have me to be.
To you, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, I give you all of me. I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
Analogy that may not be a perfect analogy, but yesterday I walked outside and looked down the little hill, the area that's was a pond. It's about 12 feet circumference, maybe 6-8 inches deep. thought there was probably a few fish down there, so I put on my waders and slogged through the mud with a bucket and net. I saved the fish. It's a bigger pond about 50 yards away from the little pond that was drying up, and so I thought I'd get them all in a bucket and I can take them to the other pond. So I began to work and try to save these fish, and I realized when I got down there to the water, there were literally thousands of fish in this little area. Some this big, some 6-pound bass. All swimming in this little shallow, muddy pool of water. I'm trying to catch them with a net, and they're trying to get away from me. I'd throw them in the bucket, and they'd hop out of the bucket. It hit me. I was tired, man. I was slogging through the mud, and I was going back and forth, and these stupid little fish just wouldn't let me catch them and put them in the bucket. I was trying to take them to the big pond where they could live. They're there in the shallow, muddy water gulping, trying, and I know if I don't get them from there to the big pond, I'm going to die. Stupid little fish are trying to get away from me, and I'm trying everything within me to get them and net them and put them in the bucket because I want to put them where they'll live. Because I know if they stay where they are and there's no more rain, it's going to dry up and they're going to die. See, that's what's frustrating about ministry sometimes. Let me just put it there with you. You're struggling. You're trying to get people. You want to move them from this little shallow pool of spirituality where they're still in the mud and they're trying to get all these things through the gills and live for God. And they're just, and the whole time there's somebody in their life trying to say, hey, just trust me. I know it may be confined for a little bit while I put you in this bucket, but you need to understand there's a reason why I'm trying to get you to the big water where you can live and grow. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you, God. I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I want to be a fisher of men, God. I want to be someone. I know it's easy to become jaded, God. I know it's easy to become frustrated, and it's tiring and exhausting. I truly love them, God. I want to get them from a shallow pool of spirituality, and I want to get them in a place where they can grow and thrive. They're not going to do much where they are, God. If I can get them into the big water, they can grow and mature in you. One more time, can we lift our hands? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our time together this morning. Be with us throughout our day, God. Let's have a great time in fellowship this evening. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go. Precious name of Jesus Christ.